State of Kentucky, being conducted for the Kentucky Oral History Commission. The interview is being held at Brown's Warehouse on the south end of Russellville, Kentucky, and I'm John Klee conducting the interview. It is October 4th, and it's about 3:15 in the afternoon. The following is an unrehearsed interview for the Kentucky Oral History Commission with James Bradley Brown by John Klee on October 4th, 1985. The interview is being conducted at Brown's Warehouse on the south end of, at the south end of Russellville, Kentucky. Mr. Brown, just to kind of start, tell me a little bit about your background, where you were raised. Have your parents been in farming?
My parents started farming in 1927, mm-hmm. and they started in the north end of Logan County near a little town called Lewisburg on the Mud River, and runs through the north end of Logan County. The river got their crop 3 out of 5 years. And when this happened, they moved to the south end of the county, away from Mud River. And 1933, or thereabouts, 32 to 33, and they are at the same location that they were then. They are still living, and they're both 75 years old.
I see.
And I farm with my dad and my brother, and I've always farmed. I'm 36 years old, so I was born in 1949, and I've lived and worked on a farm all my life, except for 1 year of college, and I come back home and went to farming.
Now, what kind of farming operation were you raised on?
We are absolutely called a general farmer. We raise corn, soybeans, wheat, barley. We've got cattle, hogs, and we raise two kinds of the tobacco. We have a third kind of tobacco base on our farm, dark fire tobacco, but we, as right now, do not raise that type of tobacco. We lease it out.
Now, as you drive around this area, you see that there are big, large farming operations. You can do some extensive farming around here. How important is tobacco down in this area?
Tobacco still pays the mortgages on all the farms. If it wasn't for tobacco, I don't know what we'd be doing, really. Of course, we have got extensive farming in this area. We can raise anything. I've been told that we can raise more and different variety of crops than anywhere in the world except for the Nile River Valley in Egypt.
Exactly.
We can raise, you name it, we can raise it. The only thing we can't raise is citrus fruits and things like that. So we can raise everything, but tobacco is still the thing that brings in the most money, and what Logan County's economy, a farm economy, is still geared to, because we have three different types of tobacco here, and even though it doesn't seem like that, Logan County, according to a lot of state statistics, because most of the time that's just based on burley tobacco.
Yes.
When you have three different kinds of tobacco, and a lot of tobacco is raised in Logan County, a lot.
Now you said that's the crop that pays the mortgage. Is that because of the support system? You know what's coming in, and you can kind of base plans on it.
Right. I can't say enough for the tobacco support system. Mm-hmm. It's the system that has worked for other farm subsidies and programs have not worked. The tobacco support system has always worked, mm-hmm. and it has always been a minimum cost to the government.
Mm-hmm. let me get into some of the, now the three types of tobacco are
dark air cured, dark fire cured, and of course burley.
The sources, it is kind of curious that, you know, you've got all three tobacco types here. Mm-hmm. Is that a remnant from the beginning of the program? Were those
the dark fire cured and dark air cured have been grown here for generations, even before burley was even back during when this country was first being started.
Right.
They shipped tobacco from this area down to Louisiana on the Mississippi River chewing purposes. And smoking didn't come burley tobacco, and that's what burley tobacco is used for, cigarettes mainly. It was, I guess, in 1920s or 30s before burley and smoking cigarettes started. Well, chewing tobacco has been going on in this area for generations and generations, and during the Civil War, Southern soldiers traded the Northern soldiers, you know, chewing tobacco for coffee. This area has always been known for its chewing tobacco and the high quality dark air cured and dark fire cured that we raise.
Right now, both of those types of tobacco are primarily used for the chewing and the plug?
Chewing tobacco, your twist and your plugs, and of course, a lot of pipe tobacco, dark air cured and dark fire cured is in a blend that goes into your pipe tobacco. And then you have in the last few years, the advent of wet snuff. And you've always had your powder snuff, and now they've come with the wet snuff, and it has been a tremendous boost to dark air cured and dark fire cured tobacco, because that's the primary thing to go into your
wet
snuff.
Now, wet snuff, I've never heard it
called
that. Oh, that's the kind. That's the
Skoll
brand name.
Hawkins snuff and Skoll and Bandits and all those. U.S. Tobacco Company is one that really started it, and then the Conwood Corporation has picked up on it, and several other different companies have picked up on the wet snuff, and it's. Basically, all it is ground up tobacco with your flavoring put on it, and you just put a pinch between your cheek and gum, as they say. And of course, your dry snuff was snuffed up the nose or put in the mouth, either one. But this is basically it's a form of chewing tobacco.
Yeah, it's really, and it's caught on and stimulated through the dark tobacco.
All you have to do, you don't chew it. Actually, you just let it sit in your mouth and get the flavor of the tobacco.
Now, all that dark tobacco that you're talking about, both the air cured and the fire cured, it is based on poundage, and it is not.
No, dark air cured and dark fire cured is still on acreage.
It is, okay.
It is just simply each farm has got acreage that was taken past history of the farm when the tobacco program was put into effect. And they had a history of what that each individual farm was producing as far as acreage when the tobacco program went in effect, and that's the acreage they got. And of course, now it's regulated just like your burley is regulated. And if we need a cut, well, everybody takes a percentage of your acreage cut, or if you need to increase, so you get the increase too.
Now, are there government inspectors that go out and check the acreage?
Yes.
And do they physically cut down the tobacco like they used to in the burley?
Right. It can happen. Now, you go in each spring and certify that you've got your acreage out, or how many acres you've got out up until what you're allowed. And then myself, being a tobacco warehouseman, I get personally measured every year, because they want to make sure that it's no secret, I don't guess it, a warehouseman, if he so desired, could get rid of it, you know,
yeah,
a whole lot easier than our average farmer. And but they come out and measure mine every year, which I'm tickled to death that they do. And everybody else is measured by airplane.
I see.
And if there is a discrepancy from the aerial view, then they'll come out and personally measure it.
I see.
And see if a lot of times a two or three tomato rows will look just right beside the tobacco, will look like tobacco, you know.
Uh-huh.
And so they have to come out and check several people's tobacco. But most everybody knows that it's aerial measured, and they stay real close to the allotment that they're supposed to have.
Now, is there a different support system for you?
It's basically about the same support system. It's not as highly supported. I have a support card around here somewhere. Do you want to?
Yeah. Now, are there, it's graded, it looks like the same way, the same type grades.
Mm-hmm.
B1R. And,
mm-hmm.
Okay.
A1F.
Uh-huh.
Okay. I'll explain that if you want me
yeah,
to.
Yeah, please. Uh-huh.
Okay. Basically, the dark air cured tobacco is a whole lot more emphasis is put on quality.
Yes, sir.
Than in Burley, because you're like a grade A1F is mm-hmm. positively the best grade that you can get on dark air cured tobacco.
Uh-huh.
The reason is put the quality has to be there, that A1F tobacco is used for wrapping your plug tobacco. It cannot have any holes in it.
Right.
It has to be smooth, it has to be pliable, has uh-huh. to have extreme amount of elasticity in it.
Mm-hmm.
And tobacco.
Right. There has to be great care taken in when it's being prepared. Now, would that most of that be hand tied then?
Every bit of it is hand tied.
Uh-huh.
We cannot bale any dark air cured tobacco.
Okay.
Or dark fire cured either.
Uh-huh.
For chewing purposes.
Mm-hmm.
Now, a lot of labor goes, I think a whole lot more labor goes into your dark tobaccos
mm-hmm.
than your burley
mm-hmm.
tobacco. Maybe the demand is not there. There's a reason we don't receive as high price for it. There's also other compensations. Burley tobacco is, you plant it 18 to 22, 24 inches apart. Dark
mm-hmm.
air cured tobacco is planted 36 inches apart.
Gee. Uh-huh.
And so therefore you're not cutting near as many plants when you go to the field
true.
To cut
uh-huh.
as you are when you're cutting burley.
Now, the reason you separate them out farther is to get the better lease?
Well, you separate it out so, and top it down low. It's topped, where burley is topped, 24 leaves maybe? And your dark air cured tobacco and dark fire cured tobacco is topped 16 leaves. 14 to 16
uh-huh.
leaves.
So now when you go out in the field to cut that, it's not usually shoulder high? Or
no, it's uh-huh. it's about that,
okay.
what's that, 3 foot?
Three and a half feet
high.
Uh-huh.
And the leaves are extremely large
uh-huh.
because you've got it topped down low, and they're extremely thick
mm-hmm.
because you have to, you want a thick, smooth tobacco.
Now, what's the top, what last year, for example, what the top grade of the dark cured brine?
All right, your A1Fs, which were very few.
Yes, sir.
Very few.
Uh-huh.
They brought $1.73,
mm-hmm.
$1 over the grade.
Uh-huh.
A2Fs, which is put support price on, is $1.66.
Uh-huh.
They brought $1.67.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, it About $1.60 was
the average
tops.
I see.
On your dark air cured tobacco. Okay. Now, on your dark fire cured, I have raised it, but I'm not raising it at the present on our farm, so I couldn't tell you exactly how much that brought last year, but it brings more than your dark air cured because it's a whole lot more work to it.
That's true.
And because the dark fired tobacco has to be fired for 45 days, where you put sawdust and wood in the barn after you've housed your tobacco in the barn, and then you smoke and that tobacco for 45 days. So you have to go in there and put sawdust in your barn about every other day or so, and it's a lot of work to staying with it.
Let me ask about this dark air cured while we're talking about it. Now, when you start out with that, do you buy a special kind of seed?
Yes, we've got about 3 or 4 different variations of your dark air cured tobacco. Most everyone around here grows the 160 variety.
Is that called Kentucky 160 or?
I think it's a Kentucky variety. Then you've got 165, and then you've got a 182, and a 100, and a 101.
Okay. Now most of this, can you buy these out on?
We've got one producer of seed for this variety of tobacco.
Is that right? Where's that at?
It's Mr. Newton, who lives at Hopkinsville, Kentucky.
I see.
And he's the only one that I know of that are producing seed for dark air cured tobacco right now.
Okay. So you've got a different seed, plant preparation and the beds and all that is
basically
similar
to the same. Basically the same as Burley. Only difference, the dark air cured and dark fire cured is a lot darker type tobacco. It's a real, real dark green.
When it's on the beds and in the field growing,
where Burley is a light colored yellow green, but your dark air cured and dark fired is real dark green.
Now, what about problems with this kind of tobacco? Are they similar? For example, is there blue mold in this tobacco or
blue mold? Blue mold does not affect dark fired and dark air cured as bad. It can affect it, but not as bad as Burley. But we have a lot of rust that, which is a fungus.
Right.
It just brown spots come in the tobacco, and therefore we call it a rust.
And
we have extreme problems with these brown spots in wet weather coming on dark air cured and dark fire cured tobacco. And if this happens, basically the only thing you can do is cut it, and cut it as quick as possible.
I see.
And hang it in the barn and cure it up as quick as possible. And that's the only way you'll stop these brown spots from multiplying and ruining your whole crop, because, like I said before, quality is a whole lot more important in this than it is in your burley.
Right. Well, people, as you said, you know, when you buy a plug, you can see the wrapper, and you have to, I guess, have to have that quality.
If the rust is there, those holes will fall out, and it will not make good chewing tobacco.
Let me back up a little bit and talk about the start of the season. Now, are you working in both kinds of tobacco about simultaneously then?
Right. Our plant beds are... We just sow every how many hundred yards of burley we need, and how many hundred yards of one sucker, and how many hundred yards of fired you need. And you use the
term one sucker, which is another term for the
dark air cured tobacco.
Dark air.
Technically, the term dark air cured is. Mean dark tobacco that's air cured and cured with just basically your air and let it cure like burley cures.
Right.
And
so you use the same kind of barn with.
Right.
Try to have good ventilation.
Right.
And
right. And dark fire cured is basically cured up with fire underneath the tobacco and smoking, and you put it in a super tight barn. Mm-hmm. And the tighter the barn, the better it is, so you want to hold all that smoke in that barn as long as possible, so it'll gather on the tobacco and it'll smell just like a country ham that's been smoked.
Uh-huh.
And it smells extremely good.
I've seen that term, you know, one sucker before.
All right, and so forth. That's a local term used for your dark air cured tobacco. It's called. It goes back to the days of when we had to pull the suckers off individually. Dark fire cured tobacco. You had to sucker it four times before it was ready to cut, and you suckered it from top to bottom.
Yes, sir.
Each leaf where it come out from the stalk would have a sucker each time. Mm-hmm. Dark air curing would have a sucker come in the top four leaves first, and then you pull those off, and then the next four leaves would have suckers, and the next four leaves would have suckers, and then you would have what you call ground suckers.
Uh-huh.
And they would come like that, but they would not come back on the stalk after you pulled them off that
so really
one
you
place.
Only suckered it once.
Right.
Each leaf.
Each leaf would be suckered one time. Uh-huh. And so that's where the term come from. And
when you're growing it, does that still, where this year we had a terrible time with suckers. I don't know if it was the dope they were using on it or what, but now is there less of a sucker problem with the air
right.
cured? The dark air cured?
Dark air cured is we treat it basically like you do burley or anything anymore. We come with a product that will kill the suckers on contact. We run the a fatty alcohol substance down the plant, and this will burn the suckers and kill them. And that will control the suckers for about 3 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And then we come with a systemic, which is MH30,
mm-hmm.
and spray on it, and that will control them for another 2-3 weeks. Basically, all we want our sucking control to last is for about 5 weeks,
mm-hmm.
Because you start cutting dark air cured tobacco after it's been the bloom has been pulled out of it or topped, what we call topping it, about 4 weeks. And 4 to 5 weeks is your prime cutting time on your dark air cured tobacco.
I'm just curious about, you know, in this part of the state, how that filters out. You all set around Memorial Day or a little before, earlier than that probably?
We try, like to set somewhere around the 10th of May.
I see.
Uh-huh. This year we were through by the 13th of May, which is extremely early.
Right.
We had about 19 acres of tobacco, and we were done by the 13th of May. So, we can set all the way up to the 4th of July and still
get
a crop in.
I see.
Which is extremely late, but I have seen it done.
Uh-huh. Now, what does that, that's a long range there, so that puts you up to about, you're cutting in August all the way through into
October, started the 29th of July this year,
mm-hmm.
cutting, and was done, let's see, we were done around the 3rd of September.
Oh, so that's a long process of that much tobacco.
Well, mm-hmm. About a month, a little over. Most of the time we're cutting tobacco for about 6 weeks.
I see.
We usually cut our dark air cured first because of quality. We definitely want the quality to be there in the dark air cured.
Mm-hmm.
The burley we'll cut last because we like to leave it out there 6 weeks after topping at least. Mm-hmm. And so we can get as heavy a dark air of burley tobacco as we possibly can raise.
I see. Now the relationship on your farm and in the county, you know, I don't know, obviously you can't give me anything exact, but is there twice as much burley as the air cured, you know, white burley as compared to the dark tobacco, or is it half and half, or
there's more dark air cured tobacco raised in Logan County than burley. I would
see.
Say it's about 2/3 more dark
of the dark
air cured and dark fire cured, or maybe 3/4 more dark than the burley. We're not in the basic burley belt.
Mm-hmm.
We sell a lot of burley tobacco here on the warehouse floor.
Uh-huh.
And probably sell more burley tobacco than we sell dark air cured. And there's been a practice started in the last 15 years, I guess it has been, where the dark air cured companies will go out into the country and buy the dark air cured straight out of the barn, so it's not as much of it brought to the floor as of course, and all the burley is brought to the warehouse to be sold. But the dark air cured a lot of it is sold in the barn.
Okay, I wasn't aware of that. Now, do they bypass then the grading system and everything?
Right. They sure do. They still have to pay no net cost on it.
Mm-hmm.
On it, but
the farmer does, that is.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
But because it has to be graded.
Mm-hmm.
The graders will have to look at that tobacco at some time or another.
I see.
And because that's federal law.
Right. But they might look at it after the company's already bought it.
Right.
Put the grade
right.
on it. Huh?
Right. Because you've got your DET regulations,
mm-hmm.
and all that have to be followed no matter where that tobacco is bought. And reason being for buying in the barn several years ago, dark air cured tobacco being harder raised than burley, and they were not paying near the price that farmers thought they should.
Mm-hmm.
And farmers quit raising it, and they were making more money out of corn and soybeans, so they just quit raising your dark air cured tobacco. So it got to be a shortage of it.
Mm-hmm.
And so as one little company needed a lot of real prime air cured tobacco to go overseas to the German company that he bought for.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't think he was going to be able to get it all on the floor and meet the competition, so he went out in the country and started buying it.
Now, what do you remember what company it was?
Yeah, Tobacco Supply Company.
Uh-huh.
It was the name of it in Springfield, Tennessee.
Uh-huh.
And then he was giving a little premium,
mm-hmm.
for the real good tobacco. And farmers kind of thought it was a status symbol that they could sell their tobacco
right.
in the barn, because this buyer come out and told them how good a tobacco they had, and he was going to give them a penny or two more a pound, so they would sell to him, and then the price of tobacco didn't go up. Favorably to the farmers, they could still make more money out of corn and soybeans.
Mm-hmm.
And it got to the point where companies were really hurting for tobacco. And it come a year where it was a drought or something happened, and the company saw that it wasn't going to be any tobacco on the, you know, it was going to be a tremendous shortage. And all, well, not all of them, but a large percentage of the companies went to the barn and started buying tobacco, and that's, and now that's the way it stayed, because they've got their regular customers now that they go to.
This is side two of a take with James Bradley Brown. We were talking about the companies going right out to the barns. Is that true for both the dark, all the dark kinds of tobacco, the fire cured and the air cured?
Uh-huh. It had basically it was just the one company's greed starting it, and then the other companies meet competition had to go out there too, and because of short crops and shortage and dark air cured tobacco in certain years. Now some years when there's an overabundance of tobacco, it's very little tobacco bought in the barn.
And what happens then? Do they bring it to the
warehouse?
They bring
it to the warehouse, and it's a true auction. And then we'll have a drought or something like that will happen, and one company will run out and buy a big bunch. And, well, see, the dark air cured area is so small that a company can send out three or four buyers in a couple of days. If a farmer is willing to sell it, can buy a tremendous amount of tobacco in a couple of days just riding through the country. And you've got an area of Robeson County, Tennessee, Simpson County, Kentucky, Logan County, Kentucky, Todd County, Kentucky, and basically, you've got a few outlying counties like Butler County, Kentucky, and Muhlenberg County, Kentucky. It's got small bases in them. But basically, those three counties raise most of the dark air cured tobacco grown in the United States.
I see. Uh-huh.
And a company can go out with three or four buyers and cover that area in a small period of time and buy up a tremendous amount of tobacco.
Now, the last few years, because of the new changes in the products, this tobacco has been pretty much in demand.
Yes, it has. But as with Burley, we last year or so, they've been importing dark air cured tobacco into the United States, and our products, they claim they can get it set down in their warehouses for $1 a pound, and so therefore it makes our product go down in price.
Now, does a pool get tobacco that doesn't bring the minimum price
same,
for the dark?
Same thing as your Burley tobacco. You've got like a 3F tobacco. The government support price on it is $1.60, so a company has to buy pay a dollar over that price, and our pool is called the Eastern Dark Fired Association, and you got a Western Dark Fired Association. Right. So it's your dark fired tobacco covers a whole lot larger area than your dark air cured. We've got a dark air cured area in the western part of Kentucky too, and that's around Owensboro. And that's called the Green River air cured area. And it's consists of, I think, Owensboro, Mayfield, Murray, and Madisonville markets. And they've got a dark air cured area there.
And that's essentially the same tobacco, though, isn't it?
Essentially the same. Basically, though, I think it's your dark fired tobacco that's air cured.
Oh,
understand? It's a different tobacco than what we raise.
That Green River is.
Green River is. Green River air cured tobacco. But it can be used for the same thing. But I can tell the difference in it. It's no trouble for someone like me that's been in the tobacco business all his life to look at Green River tobacco and know it's Green River tobacco and know that dark air cured one sucker is one sucker, and because they use a different, like I say, they use basically what looks like to me fired tobacco seed and just air cure it. And that's the reason. But it can be substituted and used the same way.
Well, let me get it straight in my mind. So here you've got the dark air cured and the dark fire cured. Now they're essentially the same seed, just processed differently.
Basically, there is a difference in them.
Oh, there is a difference.
There is a difference in them, but you can substitute them.
Okay, so
your
that
dark
green
fired
river
is a bigger, broader leaf than your dark air cured.
So what they're doing up in that area is essentially growing that what you all would smoke down here, or fire.
Right.
But they're air curing it.
Right.
So you do have a little regional variation, and
right.
Like you said, yourself and I guess buyers and so forth can
have preferences to what they want.
So I guess for some buyers, they'd rather go up there. It suits their needs better. Others come down here.
Right. This dark air cured tobacco is basically, they like it for your plug and your twist chewing tobacco. Where your Green River, they like it. It will suit for your wet snuffs and your snuff better than our tobacco.
Now this dark fire tobacco here is also used for the wet snuffs.
Right, wet snuff, and a lot of it is exported to your foreign countries. Your Dutch buy a tremendous amount of this dark fire tobacco.
Do you know what they're using it for?
Chewing and smoking.
Is that right?
They have a very, very strong pipe tobacco over there that's very popular that it goes into.
Well, both of these dark kinds of tobaccos then are really, in a way, stronger than, a stronger flavor than the burley.
Got a whole lot, I would presume, a whole lot more tar and nicotine in them than your burley tobacco. But it's used for chewing and snuff, and I know a man that recently died. He was 104, and he said, I talked to him one time about chewing, and he chewed tobacco every day. His son he got so feeble that his son would get him up in the morning and cut him a chew of tobacco, a plug of tobacco, and put it in his mouth because he was too feeble to do it himself at 104. And he said, I asked him, how long has he been chewing? He said, son, I don't know. I've been chewing it so long, I can't remember when I started. But I've known so many, many people that have chewed since they were, 10, 15 years old and lived to 90, 100.
Because this tobacco is shorter, and we're still talking about the dark air cure, because you do grow a lot of it. You personally, do you grow as much of it as you do the burley?
I grow more.
A little more?
Dark air cured tobacco than I do burley.
Yeah.
We grow 12, we had 12 acres of dark air cured this time, and that would make 7 acres of burley tobacco.
Your barns were built with the air cured tobacco in mind?
Your older barns were. We have a barn on my dad's place. It's about 100 years old right now. It was built around 1880s.
Yeah.
It was built for fire cured tobacco. It has the round tear poles in it, and all your older barns were built for your dark tobaccos. The newer barns were built for burley, because you had an abundance of barns in the area, and if your man needed a barn, it was usually for burley.
But some of the older barns are those that you can tighten up and put the smoke in. The reason I was asking, even with the air cured burley, it doesn't hang down as far. Does that make it easier to harvest and
It does. Of course, your leaves are so much heavier and bigger than your burley that it will break a whole lot easier. You have to use extreme amount of caution when cutting it, because a bruised leaf is a green leaf and a bad leaf, and they will not buy green tobacco like they will not dry green burley, you know, very well. But
so even a little more strict.
It is very, very strict. They definitely need the tobacco a good brown color, mm-hmm. and because greenness always means bitter tobacco. Mm-hmm. And when you're chewing tobacco, you sure don't want a bitter tobacco. You want a tobacco that is of course, got the true tobacco taste. And so
in some ways it's harder because you have to take more care. And,
it is carried over into our burley. We feel like that we have got a tremendous burley market here in Logan County because the farmers down here take such good care of their dark tobacco. They take good care of their burley tobacco, and we think that we have the best burley tobacco now in the state because we take such good care of it.
It's just a carryover.
It's a carryover from your dark fire, because especially your older farmers, it was pride, mm-hmm. and among them neighbors and everything. Maybe everybody got the same price for their dark air cured tobacco. You know, it may not very much in price, but the grade would make a difference to them. You know, they have so much pride in the way they raise tobacco that they really work at it, mm-hmm. and it is carried over into our burley, and we've got a tremendous burley market here because the farmers really work at quality.
Tell me about the tobacco hangs in the barn, depending on the season, about the way it does with burley. About the same length of time? And
basically, now, of course, the burley market opens usually somewhere around the 1st of November. Around, I think this year we opened the 18th of November, mm-hmm. and but we will not start selling dark air cured tobacco until about sometime in December.
So it does take longer to cure up.
Well, basically, I don't know. It might take a little. It does take a little longer to cure up because you got a bigger stem in the and the leaf, and a thicker leaf,
mm-hmm.
and it takes a little longer for it to cure up, so therefore we start the sales a little later. I personally wish we could start the sales after Christmas, but uh-huh. there's some amount of people that need Christmas money, so
that's
therefore
true.
we have about 3 sales before Christmas.
Oh, I see. Now, when you strip it, how many grades do most people, the dark air cured, how they strip it?
It depends entirely on quality,
uh-huh.
and the length of the leaves. If you've got some tobacco that didn't do real well, you'll have some shorter leaves. Mm-hmm. And on our grade card, there is a discount. Mm-hmm. For short leaves, your 47, 46, and 45 links
mm-hmm.
Carry one grade, and your short or tobacco 44 link will carry a. Mm-hmm. Basically, it's about a $4 discount.
So even if it was real high quality and good color and so forth, the shorter leaves,
right?
Price drops
price
pretty drastically.
Drops. Right, it really does. And
yeah.
If you've got real good tobacco, you can probably make 3 grades of off each stalk and do real well.
Now,
but I have seen as high as 5 or 6.
Is that right?
Uh-huh.
They use the same terminology, strip it into tips and trash?
Well, you're in dark air cured tobacco and dark fire cured both. The top of the stalk is where your quality is.
I see.
The bottom of the stalk has got some dirt and sand in it,
mm-hmm.
and of course, being used for chewing. You cannot use tobacco that's got sand in it for chewing, so therefore, and it's not as smooth and good a quality. So your bottom of your stalk is your lowest quality.
What do they call those leaves?
We call them trash lugs.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Middle leaves.
And if you've got some real sorrowin, we call them buzzard lugs.
Is that right? Can you do anything with them at all?
Very little.
Uh-huh.
We, in the past few years, when we've got, and that's non, those types right there, most of them are non-price supported.
Oh, I see.
And we have, in the last few years, the ones we call buzzard lugs bring a nickel a pound. And that's of course,
yeah.
You cannot
not
fool with
it,
tobacco.
Right.
You can't even handle it for a nickel a pound. Yeah. And but most of them bring from a nickel to 15 cents.
Yeah.
And the only reason anyone any fools with them, if they're that bad, is because they want to keep their poundage up on their tobacco.
I see. Right.
And,
because it is done with acreage.
Well, it's done with acreage, but they think one of these days it may go to poundage, and if it does, they want to have their farm
record.
History would show that they've got a good poundage from on their farm.
Right.
And so, therefore, they still
so
sell as many pounds as they possibly can grown off of their acres.
A little thinking going on there then.
Right.
What about the middle leaves? What do they call those in the
we
dark?
Call them seconds.
Seconds.
Uh-huh. And the seconds is very good tobacco. It's milder tobacco than your top leaves. And some companies desire them more than they do your top of your stalk. And But it all depends on the quality of them and how they're handled.
And the top leaves are called?
Leaf.
Leaf.
Leaf tobacco.
And that's really about got it ordinarily.
Right.
You might have different
variations off that.
Of
you may have short leaves or, you know, that'll have to go into a grade or green tobacco or like I say, this tobacco gets a rust on it or a fungus that makes brown spots come. You have to take them out. And of course, the old mimus of hail really can be devastating to dark tobacco. Burley, where it's going to be ground up anyway and going into cigarettes, if you get a hail on it, really doesn't make any difference because it's just going to be ground up. And fire tobacco and dark air cured tobacco, it's absolutely devastating.
It
can absolutely destroy a crop in 5 minutes.
You mentioned earlier about sand in the tobacco, and that brings up the question of the type of soil you have in this area. What kind of ground is it for growing tobacco?
Well, we have a limestone base in the north end of Logan County, and a sandstone base in the
south.
A limestone in the south end of Logan County and sandstone in the north end of Logan County. And the south end of Logan County raises a whole lot higher quality dark air cured and dark fire cured tobacco than the north end does.
I see.
The sandstone ground will raise just as good a quality burley as the limestone soil will, but they cannot nearly compete with the farmers in the south end when it goes to dark air cured and fire.
Now they do grow some up there, but
right.
The quality just isn't as good.
Just the quality is not as good. You have a few farmers up there that grazes real good dark air cured tobacco, but most of the time they have got some red clay soil that we have in south Logan
And that's the reason they can raise the crop. It's more akin to our soil that we have in the south end of the county.
Does that partially explain the concentration of the dark tobacco in those counties you mentioned earlier?
Right.
Mm-hmm. It's just the, as you get it's out soil. On the fringes, you just can't grow the quality.
That's right. It's a mm-hmm. soil. It has always been that way. The soil is just will give you the quality because it's just as good a farmer's in the north end of Logan County sure. as it is in sure. the south end. It's just the fact that the soil
is different.
Makes the tobacco.
Okay. So you strip it in these three or four grades depending mm-hmm. on you know the size of your leaf and so mm-hmm. forth, mm-hmm. and it's all hand tied.
Right. And very small hands.
Small hands. Okay.
About 7 to 10 leaves. At maximum 10 leaves.
Is that so the buyers can see everything better? Or
no. See, it goes through a redryer when it gets to the company,
mm-hmm.
and they want those hands uniform to the point that each hand can go on. It's still put on an old-fashioned redryer that's it's still got your tobacco sticks, and they hang it right back on the tobacco sticks huh. and run it through the redryer that away on the hand, and it's still in the hand, and they want each hand to be basically the same size.
Has it been like that for as long as you can remember?
As long as I can remember, and of course there's always a movement underway to put dark air cured tobacco in bales like Burley,
uh-huh.
but the companies tell us that as long as it's going for chewing and for your twist and your plugs, that there's no other way that they can handle this tobacco except in hand. Now, if it was all going for snuff, that is ground up uh-huh. anyway, so it doesn't make any difference. They could bale it, but as long as there's such a amount of tobacco being chewed, and they still say it has to be hand tied, and it's only way a government support price can be put on it is it's hand tied. If you get too big a hand, the grader will put a big H, BH on it, and that it's a 20 cents reduction in your support price.
Right. So farmers are careful then not to
right.
let that happen.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. You have an interesting viewpoint because you're a warehouseman, and you see the buyers and so forth. What kinds of, you mentioned a couple of buyers, or one, the tobacco supply company. Mm-hmm. Who are some of the other buyers of the dark tobacco? Okay.
You've got U.S. Tobacco Company, which right now is your biggest buyer of dark air cured tobacco.
Now they're the ones that put all the smokeless tobacco out on the market, the Skulls and the Bandits and mm-hmm. those different kinds of. Mm-hmm. Have other companies picked up on that?
Right, they sure have. Your Conwood Corporation, which is American Snuff,
mm-hmm.
here on our market, by under the name American Snuff, they're a big buyer.
Uh-huh.
We had R.J. Reynolds Tobacco Company was the biggest buyer of dark tobacco until 2 years ago, and last year they pulled off the market completely, and it was announced just about a month ago that they are selling all their interest in the dark tobaccos.
The pipe, Prince Albert,
right? And some pipe of and the chewing plugs, and they're selling all their interest, and they're getting out of the chewing business altogether. So they quit mm-hmm. buying.
I see.
They were buying 35% of our market.
Gee. Has that had, of course, this just happened, what, last year, year mm-hmm. before?
It's had a tremendous effect on
has it.
Uh-huh. If you would, I would like to show you what kind of effect it had.
Okay. You were talking about the way R.J. Reynolds was pulled out of the market, mm-hmm. what kind of effect it had.
Right. In 1980-81 market, we opened with average on our floor for the first sale, $1.31.96.
Mm-hmm.
with a top sale that year of average of $1.40.56. The next year, 81-82, we opened at $1.28.91 with a top sale being average of $1.47.16. The year that R.J. Reynolds pulled out, which was the 82-83 year, we opened with $1.14.71 average, and the top sale that year was $1.33.57.
So the farmers in the dark air cure has not only not had raises, they've had actual declines.
That's true. Uh-huh. Last year we opened $1.31.79, and the top sale was $1.46.21.
So you're about back where you were 4 years ago.
Right. So we averaged for the years. I'll show you the averages. The 1981 year, we averaged $1.25.52. The 82 year, the year before Reynolds pulled out, we averaged $1.38.34. The year that Reynolds pulled out, we averaged $1.21.88. And last year was back to $1.27.99.
It's still 12 cents lower than.
So the year before Reynolds pulled out, you're talking $1.38.34 to last year, $1.27.99, $1.28.
Yeah.
So you can see the difference of one company pulling off from us.
Yeah.
The major really company.
Hasn't had enough pull up, not enough other companies in it to make up that slack.
Right.
Mm-hmm. What's it look like for the dark tobacco?
Of course, it's a two-edged sword. The far as the companies are making tremendous profits. Mm-hmm. The Skoal and U.S. Tobacco Company and are setting sales records each quarter. All the companies are doing extremely well, but the American tobacco farmer and Kentucky and Tennessee tobacco farmer are not, because they are buying imported tobacco and not wanting our tobacco. They're buying enough to keep their quality up,
filling in with imports,
and they're selling more tobacco products than they've ever sold before, and doing extremely well. Their profits are going out the ceiling, and ours are going down every day.
I didn't want to leave. Were there any other major companies that are into that dark tobacco market? We mentioned U.S. Tobacco and
Conduit. Like I say, we have Tobacco Supply, which is a subsidiary of Austin Tobacco Company, which is order buyers for your European countries.
I see.
And they buy for anyone that wants an order of dark air cured tobacco. And then you've got Dibrel Tobacco Company and Bowling Green, which is an order buyer, and he will buy for, he has his regular customers.
He's an independent. Dan.
Independent. And then we have R.C. Owen Tobacco Company, and he is a small manufacturer, local manufacturer of dark fired and dark air cured products.
Now is that the one that's the Warren County Twist? Is that
no?
No, this
no
is a different.
That's their products. Let me think. One of them is White Mule. Uh-huh. And King B.
Now these are the Owens.
Uh-huh. And they're products located in Gallatin, Tennessee.
Oh, okay.
And like I say, they're and you warn County Twist and other, I can't think of the names of them right now, but they were made by Scott Tobacco Company.
Mm-hmm.
And Scott Tobacco Company was bought out by the Conwood Corporation, which is American Snuff, or mm-hmm. American Snuff is a Conwood Corporation.
Uh-huh.
And so that's another case of a small tobacco company being bought out by a large conglomerate and but still keeping the local product.
Yeah. This is tape number 2 with James Bradley Brown by John Clee for the Kentucky Oral History Commission. The interview being conducted on October the 4th, 1985 at the Brown Warehouse near Russellville. And we're continuing the interview. We've been talking about the buyers of the dark air cured. Now, you said that a lot of those people, these individuals, go out to the farms and buy, but you still get a significant amount on the floor?
True. It gives the farmer an alternative of which way he can go. Of course, when a company comes to his barn, he gets one price that they quote him, and if he thinks that he can do better with the several companies here on the floor bidding for his tobacco, well, he'll bring it on in and sell it at auction. Mm-hmm. And, or he, like I say, can take the price that the man out in the country will offer him, and he'll be satisfied with that price.
But now, you have separate sales for the dark tobacco.
Right.
And mm-hmm. there's a different set of buyers. And,
right.
Mm-hmm. Same auctioneers.
No, different auctioneers, different graders.
I see.
We have graders uh-huh. that are schooled for the dark air cured tobacco, and we've got a different set of graders.
Mm-hmm.
For both kinds of tobacco that we sell here on the floor, we sell dark air cured and dark and burley mm-hmm. on our floor. Now Logan County does not have a dark fired market,
mm-hmm.
so the farmers in Logan County have to go to either Springfield, Tennessee, or Clarksville, Tennessee, or Hopkinsville, Kentucky, to sell their dark fired tobacco.
I see.
So we can, years and years ago, that way it was set up, and we've got the burley and
dark air cured,
uh-huh. markets here in Russell. And of course, Franklin, Kentucky has dark burley and dark air cured, and Springfield, Tennessee is the only market that I know of that sells all three kinds. They sell burley, dark air cured, and dark fire cured.
Huh. Now, will there be burley sales, and the dark air cured going on the same time? But same day, maybe.
It has happened uh-huh. that we have on this floor had two sales going on simultaneously of dark air cured and burley. It's not an ideal situation,
no.
to say the least. A lot of confusion and everything, but most of the time, in the last couple of years, we worked it out where we sell dark air cured tobacco twice a week, and we sell burley, have been selling it 4 days a week. So we are working it out where we can maybe we'll have a burley sale in the morning, dark air cured sale in the afternoon.
Now, R.J. Reynolds, you said before, had about 35% of the market. U.S. tobacco, it takes what of the market?
Mm-hmm. U.S. Right now has made huge strides, and they, I guess, right now, have got 30 to 40% of the market.
Mm-hmm.
They're a big, big buyer, and they are.
Who are the other majors out of this group? Conwood and
Conwood Corporation and the Owen Tobacco Company is
okay.
Is a big big bow.
I see. Okay. These, when that tobacco is out on the floor, what does it look like in comparison to the Burley?
It's much darker.
Mm-hmm.
It's a dark red face on it, mm-hmm. with a dark brown back,
mm-hmm.
and very smooth, with a dark air cured tobacco that is of high quality. You hold the leaf and then pull on it, and it'll just keep on stretching.
I see.
And then when you turn loose of it, it'll just pull right back together.
Huh.
And like I say, it's got to have the what companies call elasticity.
Uh-huh.
It'll stretch and come back together, and it's very, very pliable type tobacco.
So they're looking, I mean, they look for, they're looking at the color and this elasticity, and
mm-hmm.
different than the Burley.
Right.
Okay.
It's a product that is chewed and is tasted.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, it's got to have the taste and the smell, and everything has got to be right, because when you're smoking tobacco, you taste it after it's been burned,
mm-hmm.
and where this is raw tobacco that you're tasting.
Right. Has there been problems on the dark air cured with chemical contents, for example, as
no more
foreign buyers?
No more than with Burley. Like I say, very honest in this, the government tells us what chemicals we can put on tobacco,
mm-hmm.
Which ones we can use, which ones we cannot use, and I do not know of a farmer that would use anything on tobacco that would harm anyone, because, let's face it, a farmer has to be out there in that tobacco himself,
mm-hmm.
and he's not going to put anything on that tobacco that's going to harm him. So therefore, he's very careful about what he uses.
Okay.
Let's see where we go.
Let's turn the discussion over to the Burley that you do grow. The growing season again is a little earlier in this part. The Burley season's a little earlier down this part of the state, I guess.
Yeah, it probably is. We usually set our tobacco, like already stated, mm-hmm. We like to get started somewhere around the 10th of May.
Mm-hmm.
And we set it and we grow it probably a little bit different than they do up in the Burley Belt.
Uh-huh.
We grow it a little bit further apart.
Do you?
Mm-hmm. We grow from our Burley 22 to 24 inches apart. And we top it as soon as we see the first blooms.
Oh, you don't wait for a lot of to bloom out.
Why
the distance? Why the extra distance between plants? Is it because
like
of the soil?
A thicker, heavier type Burley.
I see.
We found out that we can sell it better.
Uh-huh.
And we top it when about a fourth of the patch is in bloom.
Now, what's the reason? Again, that's because you'll get those bigger leaves. And
right. We
top it down lower, I guess.
Top it lower, and we put a oil down the plant,
mm-hmm.
and then we come back with MH30 over the top at a lot less rate, because we don't have to hold the suckers as long because we've done used a substance.
Well, now, most in the central part of the state and eastern part of the state, they don't have the two treatments. They'll usually just treat it once with MH30.
With a extreme amount of MH30.
Right.
And, of course, a lot of your foreign markets do not like a lot of MH30 on their tobacco. And that's another reason that they are coming down to this area, because when we open the market up, the first thing that goes on as far as the buyers are concerned, when they get to Russell, the first thing they do is pull samples of all this tobacco that's on the floor right then. And they ship it to their laboratories and take samples, they know what is in our tobacco. Mm-hmm. They know what chemicals has been used. They know the amount of chemicals still left in that tobacco. And that is a selling point when they go to resell this tobacco overseas or use it themselves.
Right. Now, you mentioned that it's planted a little different, and in the field it's treated a little different. Harvesting is about the same. How about the way it's put in the barn and cured up?
I've been to Lexington and watched them harvest tobacco up there. And being small acreage down here, it's usually done by the families on the farm. And we still treat it a whole lot gentler than the folks around Lexington do. We treat it very easy and put it in the barn. A lot of times back around here is cut and put on a stick and let it wilt for a couple of 3 hours and haul straight to the barn right then.
Oh, I see.
And so that it would not get sunburned in any way or would not get rained on. And like I say, folks down here take extreme pride in their tobacco.
Not left out 2 or 3 days, then.
Right.
Uh-huh. How do the buyers find it then? Has the market been pretty high?
We have been the last 3 or 4 years one of the top 5 markets in the state.
I see.
Uh-huh. And there's different reasons for that. The basic reason is that the Japanese and the Germans have found down here that we are raising this heavier burley, that it's extremely ripe and extremely full-flavored tobacco, that they can mix with world tobacco and get our United States flavor and taste mixed with world tobacco, and it'll go a long way.
So
flavor world tobacco, which has not got the flavor and taste that ours has,
right.
And so that makes it more valuable.
So you've got a fairly desirable burley market then.
We've got an extremely good burley market. Mm-hmm. That plus the fact that we still have a lot of hand tied tobacco. I haven't done the figures. But I expect there was somewhere around 50% of our tobacco was still hand-tied last year.
Mm-hmm.
And you still got some companies, small foreign companies, that still have to have the tobacco hand-tied because they're small and their processing ways have not changed and mm-hmm. been updated, you know, as your big companies can do,
mm-hmm.
and so they still need their hand-tied tobacco, and they can come here and get it.
Who are the major buyers of the burley down here? What kind of companies?
Well, you got Southwestern Tobacco Company, which is the major buyer,
mm-hmm.
and of course he is an order buyer for anyone who needs to buy tobacco. His major man that he buys for is Philip Morris. They buy mm-hmm. tobacco for Philip Morris Tobacco Company, which is, I guess, the biggest tobacco company in the United States.
Yeah.
But he also buys for a lot of small companies and foreign market.
Mm-hmm.
Then we have Dibble Tobacco Company, which is an order buyer. And then we have Export Tobacco Company, which is also an order buyer, but basically buys for Brown Williams from the tobacco company. Mm-hmm. We have American Tobacco Company. We have Reynolds Tobacco Company. We have Austin Tobacco Company. And I think that's...
Mm-hmm. So you have a line of 8-10 buyers then, right. Usually. Mm-hmm. One of the things that's kind of, you know, that we've talked about is that the tobacco farmer down here is a little different maybe than some of his counterparts. And, of course, that goes back historically. This is where the center of the troubles were way back when. Can you comment on that? Is the tobacco farmer extra independent? Of course, you have to deal with that, too, because you're a warehouseman.
You better believe when a farmer, and I know my customers, when a customer that I know that he has had extreme amount of, has always had extreme amount of pride in his tobacco, when he drives into my warehouse, you better believe that I put my best men on that truck because I know that he wants his tobacco handled properly. Mm-hmm. In the right way, and I absolutely school my men that when a farmer brings his tobacco in and it has been handled with extreme care, they better handle it with extreme care. Mm-hmm. And better do a supreme job in putting it on the basket or putting it on the pallet, whichever way, you know, if it's bale, mm-hmm. you know, and but when the dark air cured bring theirs in, of course it's all hand tied, mm-hmm. and if he's done an extremely good job, we're going to do an extremely good job. If he has done a sorry job, the old saying, you can't make a silk purse out of a hog's ear, and so you do the best you can with what you've got. Uh-huh. But yes, when a farmer brings it in that's done a good job, mm-hmm. that's my job to see that it continues here on the floor.
Now, you've got people working for you, and of course, I guess you've got part of the warehouse set aside for the dark air cured and the other part for the burley.
Right.
There's still some skill left, particularly with the hand tying and how you prepare a basket and do those kind of things.
I've got I'd say, 5 or 6, 7 employees that have been with me extremely long period of time. They come every year and work, mm-hmm. and a lot
mostly
of
mostly farmers,
right, or have farmed and mm-hmm. retired and come to town, and now they supplement their income by working 3 months out of the year on the tobacco warehouse floor, mm-hmm. and they. I guess I've got more than that. Yes, I've got, it's 10 of them. Uh-huh. Anyway, I had more than that. Of course, you know, the older they get, kind of retire to the point where they can't work on the floor because it is strenuous work and uh-huh. hard work.
Yeah.
But they do an extremely good job.
But you have to prepare a basket in a certain way and
it's
stack it up. And,
you know, your old type burley baskets that were hand tied burley were packed round and mm-hmm. still are.
Right.
Now the dark air cured tobacco is packed square.
Oh, I see.
And when you come on back warehouse floor, you'll see that all the dark air cured tobacco is packed square, mm-hmm. and it's can only be 5 foot high is the height most you can put on it, and most of the time if it's good quality leaf tobacco and it's 5 foot high, it's going to weigh close to 700 pounds. Mm-hmm. Okay, it weighs extremely heavy, mm-hmm. but it's real pretty, mm-hmm. once you get a floor of dark air cured tobacco set down in there, and it's all
uniform.
5 foot high or to 4 foot high and, uh-huh. and looks real uniform. Mm-hmm.
What the warehouse business in this area in Russellville, for example, are there several warehouses?
There's let me think, 6 warehouses in Russellville, and four different concerns. We have we have one warehouse, and then a New Burley warehouse is owned by four gentlemen. 3 of them are from North Carolina, and one from Todd County, Kentucky, and which is the next county over. And then we have a New Planters warehouse, which is owned by 2 farmers here in Logan County. And then we have the Russellville Loose Leaf Tobacco Warehouse, which is, they have 3 warehouses.
I see.
And it's owned by 2 farmers in Logan County.
Now, this is a relatively new facility. Have you been in the warehouse business very long? Did this replace an older building?
Right. My dad started about 20 years ago in a warehouse on 2nd Street in Russellville, and Third Street, and right behind the courthouse, and that he rented, and the facility got in such bad shape, and they wanted to tear it down to build a shopping center, and he had the foresight enough to buy some property out on the edge of town, and when they decided to tear that warehouse down to build the shopping center, well, we were ready to build a warehouse, so we built this warehouse in 1976.
I see.
And so this will be the 9th year.
I see. The crop in this area, has it, I guess it's closely matched the way the state's gone. We've had the early 80s, there were a couple of short years, and the last few years we've had abundant crops. And
right. It's ours has been 1983. We, again, were one of the top markets in the state. We had a lot of drought-stricken tobacco in that year, but we had more rain in this area than a lot of folks had.
I see.
And we had, like I say, another top, we were top, one of the top markets in the state. We had some real high quality tobacco that year. But the worst year that I can remember was the year that the blue mold hit. And we were one of the first counties that hit, and it absolutely devastated our crop that year. It was really bad. I had 2 acres of tobacco myself, of Burley tobacco, that never did even harvest.
Gee.
And so it was real bad down here that year. But Logan County is gone just about the way the rest of the state is gone. Last two years, three years, we've had a tremendous amount of tobacco, and it's been high quality tobacco.
Has the pool been getting a lot from, from the sales you have here?
Extreme amount. I don't know.
Both types.
Well, not so much dark air cured up until last year. Now, last year they were, I can't remember the figures on the dark air cured, but not, I would say somewhere around maybe 15 to 20% of the dark air cured, but up until then it had been very little dark air cured gone to the pool. I think we've got something like, had something like 4 million pounds of dark air cured in the pool, so it's not,
no, it's not a big
amount until last year, and that jumped up last year. I think we got something like 6 to 7 million pounds in the pool, which is still very manageable.
Right.
But the Burley, with our high quality tobacco, it seemed like the companies were buying low quality tobacco. And So therefore, we have had a tremendous amount go to the poop. I really do. I know the year 1983, we had some friends in Lexington, and they couldn't believe we were out averaging them the way we were, and we sent them some samples of our tobacco. But we've had the companies buy what they want, and look like they buy, they've been buying low quality tobacco and
get lower price probably.
Right, and, but we've had a good market as far as the money going into farmers' hands. You know, the average price. Mm-hmm.
Tell me, you know, you're a young man and living off farming and farm related businesses. What's the situation like here for farmers? Are farms being sold? Are land values down? Those kinds of things.
It's the toughest time that I can ever remember in farming. Mm-hmm. It's no way to tell someone how I feel and how much I worry about the farm situation here in Logan County. I'm president of the Farm Bureau here in mm-hmm. the county too, and so I'm in contact with farmers constantly, whether it is related to tobacco warehouse or Farm Bureau. And I live 7 miles from Muscle, south of Russell here. Mm-hmm. I've had three of my neighbors have gone bankrupt this summer. And they're close friends. And that's hard.
Oh, yeah.
And it's not because they haven't worked, because they've worked hard. Land values 4 years ago, were $2,000 to $2,400 an acre. Mm-hmm. Now we're seeing South Logan land bring $500 an acre. Mm. And that hurts. Mm-hmm. When you know you got your land valued at $2,000 an acre and you borrowed money against that to buy tractors and, mm-hmm. and things that you need or buy more land. Mm-hmm. And then you see your land value going down like that. You know that there's no way to pay that kind of money back.
No.
When you're 4 or 5 years ago, we were getting $8 a bushel for soybeans, and now we're getting $4.83. We were getting $3.50 for corn, and now we're getting $2 a bushel for corn. Mm-hmm. So, and cattle the same way. We were getting 80 cents a pound, and now I sold some of the finest bull calves the other day that I've ever had, and I got 44 cents a pound for them, and they were good.
Mm.
And so, when you've got your commodities that we sell have dropped that much in price, and I get extremely hostile, I guess you'd say, when I talk to some of my friends that live in town, and they say, well, those farmers have gone bankrupt or just bad managers.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the case.
Yeah.
They've farmed hard and have worked hard. They've worked extremely long hours, and they've only thing that they might have done wrong, they listened to so-called experts that said that land values would not drop, and they
right.
bought land, and now they're trying to pay for land that they gave $2,000 an acre for, and with prices that have plummeted to the bottom.
This is side two of tape two with Bradley Brown. We're talking about the, how land values have declined and farmers are going out of business. Is tobacco the lifeline now that's about to be cut, or What you're thinking about opening the market here? How does this crop going to work, or do you even know?
I'm going into it with scared to death. I'll be honest with you. The farmers of Logan County need this tobacco crop as much as they've ever needed a crop in their lives. They are there's farmers that are absolutely desperate. Their creditors are hounding them every day. Corn and soybeans and cattle are at cost of production or below, and if they don't have a good tobacco crop, how can they pay for the tractors they bought, the farm you don't go out and pay for a farm in a year or two. Takes a lifetime to pay for a farm, and if you missed one or two payments, or have just made interest on payment on a farm, interest payment on a farm, this year I hear they are going to foreclose. So
it's beginning to impact now even on the banks and
the
other businesses.
Logan County's economy is tied mainly to farming. And we have some factories here in the county, but they're begin to lay off workers, and so therefore this tobacco crop means as much to Logan County farmers, this year's tobacco crop, as it ever has. And it's a good quality crop, but that doesn't mean they're going to buy it.
Right. Well, have you all received the instruction on how things are going to operate? Is the support going to be dropped, or is the no net going to be way higher? That's not.
We don't know. It hasn't been decided. I've spent endless hours in meetings this time trying to get something worked out between the companies and the farmers and the warehousemen and Congress, and I'm on the State Tobacco Committee for Farm Bureau. I have been, like I say, to endless meetings. And it still has not gone through Congress.
Yeah.
And so therefore, we don't know what it will be. My feeling is that we're going with the support prices of the old, as it always is, as it has been, and we'll take a 30 cent
no net
cost, which I guess anybody listening to this tape won't know that the farmers pay for their program, and if the tobacco goes into the pool, it's it has to be paid for by the farmers until a company buys it, and that's the no net cost is for to run the tobacco program.
In reference to that, if either way it goes, you as a farmer, how do you feel? You'll be voting on the program, I guess, in the spring again. It's a hard situation, I guess. What are the organizations and so forth saying? How do you feel about it?
It's a no win situation for the farmer. Basically, it's back to the old adage, the companies are going to make their profits, and the farmer is still saying, what will you give me for my crop, and have no way of bargaining for a just price for his commodity. The back companies are making the biggest profits they've ever made, but because they can get foreign tobacco brought over here and sit down in their warehouses for a dollar a pound, they expect American farmers to produce it for that. The only catch is in Mexico and Brazil in Africa where this tobacco is being raised, they're doing it with slave labor. Mm-hmm. And we cannot compete against slave labor. Mm-hmm. And until the American government wakes up to the point and sees that we cannot compete with slave labor, we're going to have the same this problem with importation of cars, importation of all farm commodities from beef to tobacco to fresh vegetables. The shoe industry is running in the same situation, and this country is the steel industry is the same thing, but we cannot compete against slave labor that is being used to produce these products, and that's the sole substance of the situation.
Well, that's been the Farm Bureau's, I guess, position, that they think they've said there's a correlation between when the tobacco companies really started importing and what happened with the increase in the pool and so forth. But that's been a dead end street, I guess, as far as.
Well, it was Congress. A dead end street. But it was not Congress. It was President Reagan. Period.
Mm-hmm.
Because of we have got a law in place that says when your American commodities are being adversely affected by imports from foreign countries, that the president can impose import restrictions on those commodities. Mm-hmm. We had a call meeting set up with the United States Trade Commission on this. Mr. Reagan said that it was not in the best interest of the United States to restrict trade and tobacco products, and he controlled that commission, and therefore they said that it was not affecting the American farmer that tobacco was being imported. So therefore, all the tobacco that wants to be is still being imported in the United States.
This is a related topic. I noticed Logan County has a tobacco festival, and I guess that's right around now, or is it this weekend?
This starts this weekend, and will end next weekend.
Of course, you're all close to Bowling Green, which is, I guess, a little bit of an urban center. As a tobacco farmer, do you get, and you talked about your friends in town or friends you have occasionally talk about bad management, are a lot of those people, has the health, I think it's very popular right now to be anti-smoking, kind of the hip thing to do. Do you feel any of that as a tobacco warehouseman?
Sure. Any time that I go into a restaurant, and they want to know if I want to sit in the smoking section or the non-smoking section, and I tell them I'd rather sit in the non-drinking section where a drunk won't fall over the top of me. I'm not going to say that tobacco doesn't hurt some people, because it does. It's been proven, but you have to take it on an individual basis. And the United States is based on freedom. Whether we got the freedom to smoke or not is basically simple. And if a man wants to smoke, he's not hurting anyone but himself.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not like a man drinking. He hurts somebody else or somebody went on dope that can hurt someone else. So I'm not going to say that it's the best habit in the world, but it's sure not the worst.
Mm-hmm. Was there anything we didn't touch on that you think that I didn't know that much about, this type of tobacco in these areas, but I think we've hit on most of the major points.
I think we've pretty well covered the dark air cured tobacco. It's a big plus for Logan County. Logan County is the dark air cured capital of the world. Mm-hmm. It's the most dark air cured tobacco grown in the world is grown here in Logan County, Kentucky.
Okay, well, thank you very much. Appreciate it.